quite a bit. It's always changing, and it's neat that it started out with just a handful of individuals who wanted to bring change, and it's grown into what it is now, which is they're in a building, it's got tons of space, and they have 9 programs that are all in different areas. I'm one of a few paid employees, I mean, over the 10-year history. And other than us, it's all been volunteer run. A dozen or 2 dozen people who have been very involved have kind of grown it from the beginnings to now. So in that sense, it's pretty amazing. But also on the other end, when I came in 6 months ago, there were a lot of things that, you know, had to be organized and different like basic systems in place.
What is all that in aid of, that transition from purely volunteer-driven and decentralized organization to one that has centralization and can pivot rather more quickly? Where should the organization be going?
That's something I want to be very aware of. I told Tawny, the president, when I came in, that was something I noticed, that it was decentralized, and I really like parts of that, and I want that to continue. So kind of keeping just a balance of both having a lot of people involved, but also having basically just a person to be there consistently, people recognize, but also to have, like, if you're looking for something, you know where to find it, like just that organization side to it. But yeah, just having a balance, because there's so many beautiful, unpredictable things that happen when it's decentralized. But also, if you let that go for too long, it's really hard to focus the efforts if there's something that you really want to focus on.
So organizationally, how do you keep the best of each? What do you do?
I think just really communicating. So communicating with board members and founders and volunteers and people involved, knowing that, you know, it's not just about me and what I want and the direction I want to take it, but really taking advice and information from many different places and kind of coming up with feeling what it is, what direction it should go.
With me is Armando Baez of the West Bloomington Revitalization Project, celebrating 10 years of doing interesting and important things on the west side of Bloomington to revitalize community and to provide for the common weal. How are you celebrating?
It started as a very modest, small kind of general grand opening for the building. And then slowly, as time went on, things got kind of added. So not only just like the grand opening for WBRP, but also grand opening for the bike co-op and adding an open house so people can tour the place. And then we're like, oh yeah, it's going to be our 10-year anniversary. So we added that on. And I think just a lot of other things too that have happened with the organization over the last 6 months, just when I've been there, there's so much to be happy about and grateful and thankful that it's like, I think we need to have kind of this large celebration too, and to invite the community that we're in. And we kind of transformed it into just like a festival, kind of a party with the intention of focusing on kind of the 10-year anniversary and the grand opening, but also moving forward. You know, I really want to make sure that we're staying true to listening to the residents, the voice of the residents. That's a huge part of the founding ideals of the organization, developing your programs and who you're serving, but also keeping in mind that like the intention and the basis of the organization was to empower the residents of West Bloomington. So we want to make sure, and this is definitely an ongoing process and just kind of revisiting each of our programs, but we want to make sure that those programs are in fact doing that, they're empowering, and that they're also serving Westside residents.
So give us the deets of the celebration.
Yeah. So it's June 30th. It's 5 to 8 o'clock. And it's called the West Bloomington Fest. And basically, it's going to be kind of like a street party, a block party kind of celebration. We're closing Allen Street off. So the street just right west of the building, we're going to close it off for the stand to come in for the live music, or the stage, I mean. And then we're going to have a food truck and Carl's Ice Cream. There's going to be a bike giveaway. So just kind of in good WBRP fashion, we kind of have, you know, said we wanted to do a celebration kind of grand opening party. And slowly, as we're planning, we're adding things to it. It kind of seems like the way of how we do things. It's typically like building the car as it's running. And that seems to work for us.
For example, tell us how the tool library is continuing on that process, in that mode.
Yeah, the tool library is it's definitely one of the more popular programs. It continues to grow, and I'm amazed at how many new members that we sign up, you know, every time we're open, and how people are just like hearing about it. There's so many things that you can do when you have tools. There's so many different projects and repairs. So it's just very far-reaching.
But you're adding a tool co-op as well, right?
Yeah, I guess you could call it like a tool co-op. The idea is it's a workshop kind of in the back, and we're slowly trying to bring it to a place where we can actually hold workshops and eventually teach people kind of woodworking skills. We have pretty much all the tools. We have a lot of the benches and tables. Right now we're kind of stuck. We need the dust collection system installed, and we've got the funds for the actual system, but we need it installed. So that's kind of what we're waiting on. And after that, we'll be able to invite people to come in, you know, cut their own wood, show people, like, you know, how they can build different pieces of furniture. There's so many different possibilities when you have just like this workshop that's open to the public. So yeah, it's definitely moving in the right direction. We just need just a little bit more push with finishing it up.
As with the tool library, as with the bike co-op, as with the veggie exchange, you have ideas, you have people with passion, get those projects going, they run successfully and grow to maturity, and then the challenge becomes finding new volunteers as the originators tire or age out or move on to new projects. How can you maintain the same fervor that began each individual initiative?
Yeah, that's something that I'm definitely aware of, and that we've talked about, the sustainability of programs. That's huge. I think with the start of any kind of new initiative or program, that has to be taken into account before anything is, you know, continued or launched. With a lot of our programs, they're fairly self-sustaining. And it has to do with kind of the initial organization of it. Right now, I would say of all the programs, we are having a really hard time. It's a challenging thing to keep the tool librarian position always occupied. That tends to be the hardest thing, just because the nature of the library having to check things in and out. There always has to be somebody at the front desk that's doing that. And it's one of the jobs and the roles that is essential to the tool library operating, but like it's not that exciting.
Not an exciting one. Yeah.
No, you're not building something. You're not directly out in the community seeing how your impact, you know, is making a difference. It's one of the hardest positions to keep. And that's been something the directors of the tool library have mentioned from, you know, since the very beginning, and something that I've noticed too. So when I started, I've spent a lot of time just, you know, doing that, checking tools in and out, and it takes away from other things, other programs and other areas of the organization. But I think it's just like we have to get creative and find ways that maybe the tool library can generate some income to pay for like a part-time position. And so the tool library is one example, but on the other side, there's like the VegOasis, which after exploring that program and seeing that, you know, for an organization to provide, and again, this is something we partnered with. So we partnered with Beacon of Hope, and they deliver the food. We just provide the tables and the location. So twice a week, we get close to 2 to 3 tables of food provided from Beacon of Hope, and they glean that food from grocery stores. And so it comes to us, and then we just put it out on tables, provide bags. And for us to run that program, like, it requires maybe a volunteer for 15, 20 minutes, and then in total it costs us $125 a year to operate. So that's one of those programs that, you know, there's very low investment of time and resources, but what we're providing is incredible.